him scrawled on the side of his tent, he scanned his, well, he decided to call it, his congregation. It was his first real one. There were plenty of women and a lot of very well-scrubbed men, but one face was patently not there. Its absence dominated the scene. But as he raised his eyes upwards in mid-song, he did notice an eagle far overhead, a mere speck gyrating across the darkening sky, possibly hunting for lost lambs. And then it was over, and people left quietly, with the look of those who'd done a job which had not been unpleasant, but which was nevertheless over. The collection plate produced 2 pennies, some carrots, a large onion, a small loaf, a pound of mutton, a jug of milk, and a pickled pig's trotter.
"We're not really a cash economy," said King Verence, stepping forward.
He had a bandage across his forehead.
"Oh, it'll make a good supper, sire," said Oates, in the madly cheerful voice that people use when addressing royalty.
"Surely you'll dine with us," said Magrat.
I was planning to leave at first light, sire, so I really ought to spend the evening packing and setting fire to the camp bed."
"Leaving? But I thought you were staying here. I've taken community soundings," said the king, "and I think I can say that popular opinion is with me on this."
Oates looked at Magrat's face, which said plainly, "Granny doesn't object."
"Well, I expect I shall pass through again, sire," he said. "But to tell you the truth, I was thinking of heading on to Uberwald."
"That's a hellish place, Mr. Oates."
"I've thought about it all day, sire, and I'm set on it."
"Oh."
Verence looked nonplussed, but kings learned to swing back upright.
"I'm sure you know your own mind best."
He swayed slightly as Magrat's elbow grazed his ribs.
"Oh, yes, we heard you lost your, holy amulet, and so this afternoon we, that is to say the Queen and Miss Knit, got Sean Ogg to make this in the mint."
Oates unwrapped the black velvet scroll. Inside, on a golden chain, was a small golden double-headed axe. He stared at it.
"Sean isn't very good at turtles," said Magrat, to fill the gap.
"I shall treasure it," said Oates at last.
"Of course, we appreciate it's not very holy," said the king.
Oates waved a hand dismissively.
"Who knows, sire? Holiness is where you find it," he said.
Behind the king, Jason and Darren Ogg were standing respectfully to attention. Both still had plasters stuck across their noses. They moved aside hurriedly to make way for the king, who didn't seem to notice. Nanny Ogg struck a chord on the harmonium when the royal couple had departed with their retinue.
"If you drop into our Jason's forge first thing when you're leaving, I'll see to it he fixes the bellows on this contraption," she said diffidently,
and Oates realised that in the context of Nanny Ogg, this was as close as he was going to get to 3 rousing cheers and the grateful thanks of the population.
"I was so impressed that everyone turned up of their own free will," he said, "spontaneously, as it were."
"Don't push your luck, sonny boy," said Nanny, getting up.
"Nice to have met you, Mrs. Ogg."
Nanny walked away a few steps, but Ogg's never left anything unsaid.
"I can't say as I approve of you," she said stiffly, "but should you ever come knocking on an Ogg door in these parts, you'll get a hot meal. You're too skinny. I've seen more meat on a butcher's pencil."
"Thank you."
"Not necessarily pudding as well, mark you."
"Of course not."
"Well then," Nanny Ogg shrugged, "best of luck in Uberwald then."
"Om will go with me, I'm sure," said Oates.
He was interested in how annoyed you could make Nanny by speaking calmly to her, and wondered if Granny Weatherwax had tried it.
"I hope he does," said Nanny. "I personally don't want him hanging around here."
When she'd gone, Oates lit a fire of the horrible bed and stuck the songbooks around it to dry out.
"Hello."
The thing about a witch in darkness is that all you see is her face, bobbing towards you, surrounded by black. Then a little contrast reasserted itself, and an area of shadow detached from the rest and became Agnes.
Oh, good evening, said Oates. Thank you for coming. I've never heard anyone singing in harmony with themselves before.
Agnes coughed nervously.
Are you really going on into Uberwald? There's no reason to stay here, is there?
Agnes's left arm twitched a few times. She steadied it with her right hand.
"'Spose not," she said in a small voice. "Now, shut up. This is not the time."
"I beg your pardon?"
"I was just talking to myself," said Agnes wretchedly.
"Look,
Everyone knows you helped Granny,